song by the Henry Sisters.
And in my sovereign die,
worship this morning. I pray that wherever you might be, just kind of removing the distractions. And in some places, the Easter Bunny has come, and you know we're celebrating together this morning as a family. And I pray that now that your time might be focused on the cross that is now empty, and the tomb that certainly is empty. That your focus might be on Him. And as we think about focus, you know, that's what this whole season of Lent is about. And I do want to thank those who joined me with my Good Friday message. And again, this is new for us. And I tried to do a message for Holy Week and Good Friday on Friday and kind of reviewed Holy Week. And I'll be honest with you, as you're in your home right now, and probably in your pajamas and real cozy, you might miss getting dressed up and coming to church. Just real strange for me this morning. There's a few of us here. Thank you to the team that's making this happen. But, you know, the church isn't full. There's parking lots not full. Kids aren't running around with a bunch of candy and chocolate in their system already and having a good time here celebrating Jesus. I miss that. And I know that you do too. But again, I think that this pandemic that has ordered us all to stay home has allowed us to do that, has allowed us to kind of get closer to Jesus, to spend time with the Savior and all of our loved ones. And I think that people are coming together on Facebook all over the world that haven't attended church, we haven't heard from in a while. That's why I'm really hoping that you will comment so we'll know who's here this morning. But we're here this morning. And this idea of focus, to me, is what the season of Lent is all about. It begins on Ash Wednesday. You know, we take the palm branches and those ashes, we put a cross on our forehead, and a lot of denominations and churches do that. So Ash Wednesday begins the season of Lent, this time of reflection. We're focusing on the cross, remembering how much God loves us and being reminded of Jesus' sacrifice for us. People give up things, let go of things. It's basically removing distractions. You can call it fasting, and people do that. But, you know, any time in your life, if something that you're doing, something that you're involved in, something that's going on is a distraction to you, then you need to get rid of it right then. You need to ask God to help you get rid of that, to remove that sin, remove that distraction, that we might always be focused on the cross. So we move from Ash Wednesday, we go right into the season of Lent. Lots of churches have services, and then we have our Palm Sunday, which we celebrated together last week. Remember, Palm Sunday is a celebration of victory, a triumphant entry of the King, and people were showing their appreciation for His miracles and what He had done. That was Palm Sunday. And then we start what we call Holy Week. And I believe Holy Week, again, is a time for us to remember Jesus' journey. All those events that took place, the betrayal, the denial, all those events that took place that led Him right to the cross. And on Monday, Thursday, remembrance of the Last Supper, the Lord and His disciples meet together for the last time. Jesus knows that someone's going to betray Him. God still loves Him. Jesus still forgave Him. That's the message, I believe, in the whole story of the Lord's Supper, that they broke bread together. And they certainly drank of the cup together. And last Sunday in our communion, and we meet for communion, we do those things. Break bread and drink the cup to be reminded of the body that was broken. But to remember the forgiveness of sins. That's why Jesus did all this, the forgiveness of our sins. No matter what we've done, where we've been, or what we've gone through, or how bad we even think we might be, God loves us and forgives us. We just need to ask Him for that forgiveness. And so from Monday, Thursday, we go to Good Friday, the crucifixion, where Jesus is basically beaten brutally, drug up the hill and put on the cross. Three crosses, one on each side. Jesus is in the middle. He's crucified. Again, being troubled today, knowing that people are dying, and, you know, they can't have their loved ones around, not even have a visitation. And we're thankful when we're around our loved ones, when they take their last breath, you know. And Jesus' death, people were watching. People were, heard what was happening, people were showing up and watching. Some people were very sad because they knew what Jesus was going through. And there certainly were people who were trying to take advantage by selling his clothes and those who were yelling, crucify him. But there were family, disciples, his mother, people that were close to him, that were mourning with him. But we're reminded that in Good Friday, the good of that is that Jesus died for you, for your good. Why? Because God is good. He's always good. He has been. He always will. God is good. What's good for you? He created all things and said, this is good. So the good in Good Friday is for your good. Now you have the opportunity to come to the cross. You have the opportunity to surrender your life to him and be with him in heaven. And then we move into Holy Saturday. It's again a day of just reminded that Jesus is in the tomb. He has died. He's put in the tomb. But remember, we read the scripture. He tells, I'm going to come again. I'm going to rise. And I'm going to come again. So that's the hope. The hope is that Jesus died on the cross and he's risen from the tomb to give us hope. That's our hope. My message today, hope is here. Well, it is here. When Jesus came, that was our hope. And it continued all the way to the cross and right into the tomb that we might have hope now and forever. But we have to believe. We have to trust and believe this to be true. This whole idea of the crucifixion and now today, Resurrection Sunday. We call it Easter, but in our faith it's the Resurrection Sunday, and we celebrate his resurrection when he is Christ the Lord has risen today. I'm going to tell you, I miss up from the grave he rose. Todd is right. That is a high song, a high hymn, but I'll tell you, I've been singing it all morning. I did mention to you on Friday that they were asking people if they, it was on Facebook, of course, people all over the world could get up for sunrise. Now, honestly, do you really know when sunrise is? Because if you don't get up in time, you don't know. And I use a sleep brush, right? But so this morning, I got up at 6:30 in my pajamas, and I went outside. Jesse Amos and neighbors up on the hill, it was me. I was singing, maybe you heard me. Up from the grave he arose, and just raising my hands to heaven. Hopefully you did that. When you get up in the morning, oh, praise the Lord. Christ the Lord is risen today for me. So that I can live today. I can face today. I can face any day. Because he lives for me. And so does him. Again, I miss him. And thank you, Father, for playing that this morning. You know, up from the grave he arose. Christ the Lord is risen today. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. So we have these hymns and these songs that remind us. And again, right now on social media and through the TV, even there are shows and programs, lots of music and people doing all these things to encourage one another and to lift up. Matthew chapter 28. Boy, it's a familiar story. Matthew chapter 28. But I believe, maybe for the first time, people all over the world are hearing this story. Why? Because they've been afraid. And they've been scared. And it's drawing them. It's just drawing them right to the Savior. They've been drawn and kind of sucked in, so to speak. Which is awesome. They've come into God's presence and realizing, oh, my only hope is Jesus. People keep talking about their hopes in Jesus, and people are talking about Easter. So I believe today people might be hearing Easter for the first time because through this coronavirus, they've given their heart to Jesus and maybe just now starting to read God's Word. Praise the Lord. But in Matthew chapter 28, and again, as I said on Friday, you know, this Holy Week story, the journey to the cross, it's found in all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but I'm going to read this morning in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and again, I know some of you are following along with me, and my scripture for prayer this morning was Psalm 54. Psalm 54 was the scripture for prayer this morning, and now I'm reading in Matthew chapter 28. Hope is here. Matthew chapter 28, and begin in verse 1, and it says, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. It says there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 4. So Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they just went back to the tomb. You know, and I think about that. You know, you do that. You go to the graveyard, you know, during, you know, times of the year and, you know, during Memorial Day. You go to the graveyard, to the tomb, right? To the grave site to remember your loved ones. We do that. And so this is what's happening. They're going back to the tomb. Jesus has been put in the tomb. And there's this violent earthquake. And the angel of the Lord comes and speaks. Well, that would scare anybody, right? It would startle you. If you weren't expecting that, it would startle you. And so an angel comes down, and again, there's this earthquake. And these ladies are just going to show their respects. Go to war. All of a sudden, there's this violent earthquake. An angel of the Lord shows up. The stone is rolled away. And this, his appearance, this appearance was, they go to the graveyard, they go to the tomb, pay their respects, and all of a sudden there's an earthquake, and things start shaking, a violent earthquake. There's this gleam of light. The stone's rolled away. I want you to look at verse 4. It says, the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Well, what? Why were there guards? I mean, do we need that? I mean, do we have guards up at the shits in the cemetery? Guarding tombs? Do we need that? I mean, do we see that happening today? So my question this morning is why were there guards? Why were the guards there? So I need for you to go with me. We need to back up. Let's back up to help understand this guard story. This guard part. What's the part or the purpose of the guards? Go back to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, which is the end of chapter 27, brings us right into 28. But I'm going backwards for a reason. Matthew chapter 27, verses 62. Let's read that. Verse 62 to 66. Matthew 27, verses 62 to 66 is going to answer the question, why guards? The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, hey, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver, they're calling Jesus a deceiver, that he, the deceiver, while he was still alive, he said, after 3 days I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. Hey, these guys were paying attention. They said, hey, Pilate, I was really listening to that Jesus guy, that deceiver. He says, you know, says he's going to come back again. So that indicates that these guards are, yeah, they're believing. They're kind of understanding. I think I might believe this Jesus, but I can't say it out loud because they might be hung themselves, right? You can't say it out loud. And so the guards tell Pilate, hey, I remember what he said, and I think we better be ready because, you know, if not, they're going to pretend he raised from the dead and blah, 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 blah. So they were worried. And the devil is real good at deceiving us and making us believe that God's not really alive, God's not really going to help me, Jesus really didn't do that. We have to guard our hearts of that, the deceiver, the devil, Satan, because he's real. He's working right now. He's upset that we're all in church and this social media. Maybe that's why it's buffered. Maybe you're having trouble on your phone. Just blame it on the devil, okay? He's upset today that we're praising the Lord, okay? So just stay with us, please. Deceiver. So these guards are like, we better make extra precautions because I don't know. I mean, this Jesus, I don't know. He's a deceiver. But what they're really saying is that this might be true. What he said might be true. So they post these guards. And the guards are there. When this earthquake happens, the guards are there, scared to death. Scared to death. What's happening here? God's plan is happening here. His will is being done. That's what's happening in this story. And so, let's move on. Verses 5 through 7. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he has said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So this angel is just doing a job. Okay? I told you what I was supposed to tell you. I did what I was supposed to do. Here it is. Lots of information here from this angel telling them, do not be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus, but he was crucified, but he's not here. He's risen, just as he said. So these guards, I think, are probably listening. Just as he said. I heard him say it. Did you hear him say it? I heard him say it. That deceiver, he really was telling the truth. Now, was the angel speaking to the guards? No, but they were scared to death, and they were listening. Do not be afraid. He has risen just as he said. Just as he said. See, God says, I'll take care of you. That's what he said. Do you believe that this morning? Why would you be afraid? Why are you worrying this morning? Why are some people all over the world living in panic today? Why are they scared? God says he'll take care of us. God said he was going to take care of Jesus. Jesus said he's going to rise again. This is the truth right here. This isn't an Easter storybook this morning. This is God's Word. This is a holy Bible. And may I note that I now have my large print Bible in celebration of my historic birthday coming up on Saturday, I guess. So here we are. I'm reading from this large print NIV Bible, and it says it very clearly. That what has happened is what he said would happen. And it's happening. It was prophesied. Jesus, his entire journey was telling me, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, I'm really glad I say it. I'm telling you, she's really going to happen. I'm going to die. I'm going to rise again. I'm telling you. It is happening. Wow. And so they're given instructions. You know, we looked, you know, in the Monday, Thursday story of the Last Supper, as I call it, you know, Jesus told the disciples, hey, go get things ready. Everything will be ready. You just go do what I tell you. It was taken care of. The coal, the donkey, whatever you want to call it. Go get it. Tell them Jesus needs it. Well, these disciples were trying to be obedient, mostly. And Jesus tells them what to do, they're supposed to do. This angel comes and tells these women, hey, don't be afraid. Jesus was crucified. You're not seeing things. It really did happen. But he's not here. So come. So Jesus, who was crucified, he is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. So the angel said, okay, come look. The stone's been rolled away. That seal these guards put in from Pilate's Park. Come see for yourself. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. Oh, we've all been told. If you've heard this story, if you've read it, studied it, you've been told. You know. If you give your heart to Jesus, you say you love, you're going to live for him, you should know the story. Why would anyone be surprised? Why would anyone be even afraid? Because we're people. And sometimes get distracted. And that's why this morning, as we look at this cross, covered in light, represents hope, represents purity, represents a risen Savior who has risen from the dead for you and I, for the whole world, for all people. And all we have to do is believe what he said. Believe his word to be the truth. Yes, this cross is empty, but now so is the tomb. He has risen. That's our hope. When we see this cross, we know it represents God's love. That gives us hope. God's love gives us hope. His love that was represented on this cross through Jesus gives us hope And he's risen so that we would have hope forever. He has risen. So we finish up with verses 8 through 10. It says, so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. Why are they afraid? Because they're going to probably think, oh my gosh, no one's going to believe us. No one's going to understand. Oh, they're going to kill us. Maybe that's why they're afraid. But they also have joy because they, at the same time, I believe, just as we all should believe, that Jesus is going to take care of, he's going to provide, just as he said. So they're scared, but they have joy. They can't wait to go running, telling his disciples, well, can you imagine if you'd have been, that'd have been me, up from the grave. Peter Rose would have taken a whole new tune at that time. I mean, I would have been losing my mind. I wouldn't really care if people believe me or not. Because I saw it. But I didn't believe it, you see. So they're worried. They're not worried. They're afraid, it says. They hurry away. Afraid yet filled with joy. And ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, here we go. They're doing what they were told. The angel told them what to do. They're going to go quickly. They're kind of afraid, but they're going to hurry and go quickly. They're filled with joy. They're supposed to tell the disciples. And all of a sudden, Jesus, wow. You know, we're sometimes startled, you know. We're startled, right? And we had to catch our breath, okay? But this is a different startle. This is Jesus, okay? And just as he said he would come. I believe that, but oh, wow, right there he is. Greetings. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet. Go and tell my brother. So, Jesus appears, gives them more instruction. Go and do as I've said. Go and do what I'm telling you to do. People aren't going to believe in me. It's going to cause some great drama in the town. Just like drama happens here. You know, there's a story pops up in Shins. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, did you hear this? Did you know this? Let's go down to town and find out. So it's going to stir up some drama. But if people were listening, just as those guards were listening, just as he said, what's happening is just what this guy was saying for years. It's happening. So in this, I think I've been in this church for Easter Sunday every year, my entire being. And I'm glad I'm able to be here today, but I miss you not being here with me. But I've heard this story over and over, just as you have. But right now, you know what the whole world needs to hear? Do not be afraid. People are afraid. Probably with good reason. But man, if you don't have faith, if you don't know Jesus, I don't know how you're going to get through this. I don't know how you get through anything. I can't get through anything a day without Jesus by my side. So I'm this morning reading this, and it says, do not be afraid. And these ladies were told to hurry, go and tell them. Now we can't go out of our house today and gather around and tell everybody, but you could still go and tell others what has happened. Hey, Jesus has risen just as he said. Hallelujah, he is risen. Christ the Lord is risen today. Just as he said, don't be afraid. Maybe you can reach out to people through social media. Maybe they can call people. Don't just say Happy Easter. Say, hey, Christ the Lord is risen today. He's our hope. Do not be afraid. Tell people Happy Easter. Tell them Happy Resurrection Sunday. Tell them don't be afraid. He is risen, just as he said. Do not be afraid. So these ladies hurried and went as they were told. And they're told to go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. So the story will continue, and these ladies are going to go and tell people. People are going to start to hear and know. But the root of this story is Christ the Lord has risen today. Yes, he was on this cross. Yes, he was on this cross. He was crucified, he died on the cross, he went into the tomb, and the stone was rolled away after a violent earthquake. The stone was rolled away. But what happened is exactly as we read in God's Word. What happened that day is exactly as Jesus had told him. Just as Jesus said, he would rise. Do not be afraid. Christ the Lord has risen today. Hope is here. He's our only hope. He's a hope. It's a hope that lasts forever. That we can be with him forever. Christ the Lord has risen today. If we believe this and we surrender our lives to him, that we too can be with him forever. That's the promise of what happened on this cross, what came out of the tomb. A risen Savior came out of the tomb. Why? Because he loves you. Why? So you can have hope. And so that you will not begin. Again, the end of chapter 27 reminds us that the guards, they knew. They heard. They were listening. What about you this morning? Are you listening? Are you hearing God's word? But are you responding to God's word? Are you deciding to follow Jesus? Are you deciding to believe this? And if you are a follower or a believer, are you going to continue to follow him and set that fear to the side and say, get behind him? Because God tells me, do not be afraid. Hope is here through the resurrection. Do not be afraid. So that's the Easter story. Hope is here. We have victory in Jesus. So if you believe that, hurry, it says. Hurry and go tell them. Go do what I'm asking you to do. And Jesus wants you to go tell people. So may that be your message today. As you're confined to your home, call someone. Reach out to someone. Pray with someone. I believe this message, do not be afraid, is for all of us to hear today. We sometimes forget that. We think about the resurrection, Christ the Lord is risen, he's risen from the dead, but we have to study his word and be reminded of his word that, wow, these guards heard it. They were listening, and they remembered it. But Jesus comes through an angel, the angel comes to tell them, and then Jesus shows up and says the same thing. So I said, do not be afraid. Hope is here, but you have to receive it. You have to receive that hope. You have to believe that hope. We have victory in Jesus if you believe this to be true. What happened on the cross, and it took us right into the tomb. Do not be afraid. Why? Christ the Lord has risen today, and we have hope. We have victory in Jesus. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he who died on the cross and rose for me and rose for all of you, he lives. And I can face tomorrow. Do you know what? I can face anything. I can face anything because my Savior lives. And I have hope. I would be lying to tell you this morning that I have not been afraid of this corona and try not to worry about it for all of you and certainly my own family. But when I got up this morning, went outside and, you know, was seeing the sun start to rise and heard the birds and just lifted my hands to heaven, I mean, wait. Because of what God's done for me, because he loves me that much, took Jesus right to the cross. Right into the tomb, he rose again. He's coming again. For you, for me, for all of us. Do you believe that? I hope you hear that this morning. Because Christ lives. Where he has to live in your heart, you have to accept him as your Savior and believe that to be true. Because he lives. There's a hymn that we sing here. You know, we had the sunrise service, and we sang the hymns of Easter or Resurrection Sunday. Then we have morning worship. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. If he lives today, it has to start with you. You want the coronavirus to end? You want all the distractions and the hatred and everything that's evil in the world to end? You gotta believe in Jesus. You gotta trust in him. See, that stone was put in that grave to keep Jesus in there. Oh, you can't hold Jesus back. What stone's holding you back today? See, God can remove that if you ask him to. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Do not be afraid. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Life is worth the living. And there are a lot of people have lost all hope and feel like life isn't worth living. Yes, it is. Because there's hope in Jesus. Life is worth the living. Just because he lives. He holds the future. Yes, he does. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. He lives. He lives. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives. Within my heart. Does he live within your heart today? He's waiting. He wants to be the Lord of your life. He wants to be yours. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Because he lives, I, you, all of us can face tomorrow if we just believe. He lives within your heart. Do you accept that this morning? Father God, I thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence today. Sad that not a whole lot of people are here. But God, all we need is you. All we need is your hope that's here with us right now. God, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you, God, for loving us no matter what. Thank you, God, for loving us that you send your son Jesus that lived, suffered, and died. He rose again so we might have hope, so that we would not be afraid. God, I pray whoever's listening right now and all the people that are watching, if you're not living in their heart, I pray that they would admit that they're a sinner in need of a Savior. They would believe that Jesus died for them. They would believe your word to be the truth. They would believe that you live and you would forgive them of their sins. And they would confess you as their Lord and Savior and commit their life to you right now, wherever they might be, right now. That you would come into their heart. And that because you live in their heart, they can face tomorrow. That you will live forever. God, we thank you for that promise. God, we thank you for your love. God, we thank you for your hope. God, we surrender to you right now. I surrender to you right now. I surrender myself, my family, and this ministry, and all those that are listening. God, that you will continue to live in me. You will live in this church. And we'll continue to love others. And no matter what tomorrow might bring, or what the future holds, I can face it. I can overcome it because you love. God, we love you. Wow, we can't say that enough. You love me. We love you. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. He lives. He lives. How do I know you? Wherever you might be, if you would stand with me and you just raise your hands to heaven and just repeat after me. He is risen. He is risen. Alleluia. He is risen. God bless you.